Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach has rejected claims there was mixed messaging about the new COVID-19 restrictions. Meanwhile, COVID-19 testing and tracing systems have come under immediate strain due to the increased numbers of cases, according to the head of the HSE. The North West has so far a scummage reported across the region, including some flooding in Strabane. All eight whales discovered washed up on Rosnaula Beach yesterday have died. And the WDC has launched its More to Life campaign in a bid to encourage people to consider relocating to Donegal and other counties in the region. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Taoiseach has rejected claims there was mixed messaging about the new COVID-19 restrictions. Earlier today, the government had to clarify the number who can attend museums, cinemas, theatres and art galleries, while Junior Minister Josepha Madigan said there had been a lack of synergy in messaging around coronavirus. Micheál Martin says the overall message is very, very clear.
We're asking people generally to reduce contacts in terms of different households, the number of different households that they should engage with, reduce your number of social contacts, particularly adults. The evidence in relation to children and the transmission of the virus is quite different to that of adults. We know that. Notwithstanding that, measures have to be taken to protect students in school environments. And in many environments, in workplace settings, for example, we're not closing down workplace settings.
Meanwhile, the director of Ungrannan Theatre in Letterkenny, Patricia McBride, has been welcoming the clarification today around museums, cinemas, theatres and art galleries. She says, however, there was a genuine confusion earlier this week.
After the announcement on Tuesday, there was genuine confusion and people interpreting what was said in different ways. I mean, I actually thought that it was telling us that we could stay as we were, in that we are operating in a controlled environment in the auditorium, so that, you know, the cinema, the theatres would fall into that category. But the further clarifications that came through then yesterday seemed to add to more confusion, and there seemed to be a genuine lack of communication within the government itself and between the two different departments, the Department of Health and the Department of Culture. So finally, the clarification has come through this morning. But I mean, it's been a very kind of busy and stressful couple of days. We only reopened after a 5-month closure. So we opened last week. Our cafe is open. Our exhibition space is open. When we got the announcement on Tuesday, it seemed to suggest that we could continue to keep our cafe open, but the workshop that we're running in the theatre space, when we have every measure in place in terms of the hygiene requirements, the social distancing, all of those things that we've been conscientiously applying, the confusion around Tuesday's announcement meant that we could have people in the cafe, so we could still have people in the theatre, but we couldn't have our workshop run in the way that we had planned it for the week.
COVID-19 testing and tracing systems have come under immediate strain due to the increased numbers of cases. That's according to the head of the HSE, who has refuted claims that the system is falling apart. Niall Colbert has more.
The HSE says it now takes a median time of 2.3 days for a person to get a referral for a COVID test, get informed of their result and for their contacts to be identified. But some people are waiting longer than this, which the HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid has acknowledged, but insists these are outliers and relate to incidents where they didn't have accurate contact details from meat plant workers, for example. More than 700 people have tested positive for the virus in the past 7 days, with six people now receiving treatment in ICUs. Paul Reid says the testing and tracing system has come under pressure.
And has caused an immediate strain, just to say that up front, in terms of, particularly in terms of some of our turnaround times on testing and tracing. But we have had very strong and good escalation processes.
Earlier this week, Professor Tomás Ryan of Trinity College Dublin said the system was falling apart. The HSE boss, Paul Reid, not happy with that claim.
Such alarmist comments, which is what they are, they may get attention, which I've just laid out for you here today. And in my view, they are actually hugely unhelpful.
Paul Reid has also expressed concern at the significant rise in the number of close contacts people are having. Some people who have tested positive for the virus have had up to 50 contacts.
A Another 8 staff in a meat plant in County Tipperary have tested positive for COVID-19. One case was identified in ABP's processing factory in Kerr last week. The 8 new cases have been confirmed after close contacts of that worker were tested. ABP say it will now begin to test all staff members in the facility. Elsewhere, a new cluster of COVID-19 has been identified in a direct provision centre in County Wicklow. It has been detected in the Esplanade Hotel in Bray. In a letter to asylum seekers in the centre today, the HSE says all residents will now be tested and they should restrict their movements. The northwest has so far escaped the brunt of Storm Ellen, with some damage reported across the region, including some flooding in Strabane. Cork was the worst affected county by last night's storm. Power has now been restored to most homes and businesses in Donegal, with ESB crews still working to restore power to 78 properties. A standard yellow rain warning is in place for the entire country until 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, while a similar wind alert will be in place this evening for 8 counties in the east and south. Met Erin's head of forecasting, Evelyn Cusack, says that there's still some unsettled weather to come.
Pretty windy day, a blustery day, with heavy thundery downpours today, and a windy day tomorrow as well, with further heavy showers. But it will be gradually improving over the weekend, and we're not heading into a fine spell by any manner of means, but certainly no more storms in the short term.
All 8 whales discovered washed up on Rosnaula Beach yesterday have died. An operation continued for much of yesterday after the pod, which usually swim in deep offshore waters, were found washed up on the beach. Volunteers of the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group are taking samples from the whales before the carcasses are due to be removed by Donegal County Council for incineration. Chevelle Regan is the group's education officer. She told today's 9 till noon show that refloating the whales was never an option.
We have a team down here on the beach taking samples as we speak, taking various samples for research just to find out as much as possible about these whales and maybe what has happened to them. We think they are found in Irish waters all year round, except these whales are found in very deep water offshore habitats of up to 2,000 metres in depth. Coastal shallow waters of Donegal Bay is not where they're supposed to be. We were cautiously optimistic for one whale who seemed to regain quite a little bit of energy, but the only issue here is that they're so far away from their habitat that, you know, really the outlook was never too good. And we were getting a lot of people asking, you know, why can't we attempt a refloating? And really, it was never viable. These animals weigh a couple of tons, you know, they're huge. And when they get very stressed, they can thrash around in the water. So there was always a risk to human safety if we were to refloat them. And then there would also be the risk that with the rest of the pod dead, that this individual would just not be able to survive alone. It could have been possible that if we had gotten it out into the bay, that it might have survived another day or two, but likely still would have come in and strand and just kind of prolonged its death, which, you know, you can't do that to the whale. You have to put the whale first.
Ireland's population increased in the year to April to 4.98 million. The CSO estimates it went up by just over 1% in that period. It also found the highest number of returning Irish nationals to the country since 2007. Eamon Torsney has more.
Ireland's population is estimated to have grown by 55,900 in the year to April and now stands at 4.98 million. Dublin accounted for 28.5% of the population at 1.42 million people. The number of immigrants to the state was 85,400 in that period. A third of those were Irish nationals returning home. That's the highest number since before the financial crash. The CSO population and migration estimates published today show people emigrated in the 12 months to April, which represents a slight increase. In April, 644,400 non-Irish nationals were resident in Ireland, accounting for 12.9% of the population.
The Western Development Commission has launched its More to Life campaign in a bid to encourage people to consider relocating to Donegal and other counties in the region. The group is highlighting the number of lifestyle and career opportunities that are available in the West and Northwest, as well as pointing out that house prices are among the lowest in the country. Tomás O'Shiacon is CEO of the Western Development Commission.
The Western Development Commission is delighted to launch this campaign, More to Life, because we believe that there is more to life in the Western region. We think because of the fact that so many people were working from home during the midst of the COVID pandemic, and on top of that, so many more were staycationing in Ireland and really were made far more aware of everything that the West has to offer, that this is the time to make people more aware of both the balance and quality of life that's available, the cheaper cost of living that's available, but ultimately the fantastic physical beauty and the wonderful culture that we have in the west of Ireland.
And indeed, there was always this long-standing belief that broadband was a huge issue for people, say, working from home in the west and northwest of Ireland. But during the COVID-19 outbreak, this has proved not to be the case.
First of all, we know that the National Broadband Plan is underway and that that's being rolled out across the country. But very interestingly, work we did with NUI Galway with the Western Development Commission earlier in the year identified that just about one in five, that it was a significant challenge for those working from home. And we also have the AEC, Atlantic Economic Corridor, network of hubs, over 100 hubs all the way from Donegal to Kerry, that allow people that don't perhaps have access to broadband the opportunity to work in an enterprise hub, which means that they can still work remotely, even though perhaps they're not working from home. So we believe it offers them the best of both worlds. So we don't see in that context broadband as, broadband is certainly an issue, but it is not a significant impediment to those that want to work from home.
Police in the north have been given until Sunday morning to question seven men and two women arrested on Tuesday as part of an operation against the new IRA, which also involves MI5. A solicitor for one of the detainees says they had sought a five-day extension, but only 3 days were granted. Ben Finnegan has more.
The court granted a further 72 hours detention from 5 o'clock this morning for the seven men and two women aged between 26 and 50 who were arrested. Meanwhile, a solicitor representing one of the Derry men arrested says the operation was a joint MI5 PSNI operation. In a statement, Ciarán Shields of Madden and Finucane says the PSNI sought to detain the nine suspects for a further period of 5 days, but Judge Pat Lynch would only permit an additional 3 days after defence lawyers strongly objected to the manner in which the PSNI has been conducting interviews of the suspects so far. He said the court will resume at 2 p.m. on Saturday to consider any further time in police custody.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with golf. Rory McIlroy is one under par with five to play of his opening round at the Northern Trust in America. Shane Lowry and Graham McDowell both teed off just before 7 p.m. Irish time. Harris English is the course leader at the moment in Boston. He sits on six under par. Jonathan Caldwell's one over par with three to play on day one of the Welsh Open. Paul Dunne is currently three over. Cormac Sharvin and Gavin Moynihan are in the clubhouse and two over and six over respectively. Callum Shinkwin and Sebastian Sordenberg are the joint clubhouse leaders. They sit on three under par. In cricket, there was defeat today for the North West Warriors at Brady in the opening round of the Interprovincial T20 competition. The hosts were 132 off six in their allocated 20 overs. In reply, the Northern Knights were 52 for the loss of three when plays stopped and the players came off the field due to rain. The Duckworth-Lewis method was then enforced and it resulted in a 7-wicket victory for the Northern Knights. In soccer cross-channel, the champions Liverpool against the championship title winners Leeds United is the standout tie on the opening Premier League fixture list, which was announced earlier today. Fulham, who went up through the playoffs, begin at home to Arsenal, while fellow newly promoted side West Brom play Leicester. Manchester City and Manchester United's opening games against Aston Villa and Burnley will be rescheduled due to their European involvement. Liverpool legend John Barnes is looking forward to seeing Leeds come to Anfield.
Bielsa is an incredible character and he's done so well for Leeds. I thought they should have come up last year. Delighted they're up. A little bit sorry for Leeds fans that they won't be there to see it. Had this game been at Elland Road, at empty Elland Road, I think that the fans would have been disappointed. But can hope for a better start. It's going to be a great start to the season, a great game.
Qualifying European action continues tonight for two Irish League sides. Glentoran play HSV Tórshavn and Coleraine are up against La Fiorita. Those games start at 7 and 7.30 respectively. And it's going to be another big night for Donegal man Keith Cowan, who of course joined Glentoran after a second stint at Finn Harps. Cowan has enjoyed cup success with the Glens, signed a new contract, and now is focused on a Europa League qualifying preliminary round tie against the Faroe Islands side. The match is tonight at the Oval and Cowan hopes home advantage will play a role in helping them to victory.
if we had to go maybe back to Windsor Park where we played the last two games in the cup, would have been a great venue as well. But having that, you know, in your couple, obviously no fans this time at all, compared to the couple hundred that was like for the cup final. But yeah, look, as I said, it's we have that in our favour, but I suppose that's the only thing. I suppose when you're going into these ties, as I say, you don't know too much about the opposition. But yeah, we're very delighted to get them over to Belfast and over to the Oval and see what we can do with them.
Keith Cowan looking ahead to a European game tonight. Well, Declan Devine, Derry City manager, has a possible European tie ahead of his side this coming next week, rather, in Lithuania. But there's still a doubt over that game in relation to COVID restrictions. Before that, Derry have Cork tomorrow night in the Premier Division as they look to bounce back and get a win under their belt following a draw last time out against Shelburne. And heading in to those ties, Declan, of course, signed a new deal with Derry, a 12-month extension. Speaking to me earlier today for tonight's Score programme, Declan says it was an easy decision to agree an extension with the board.
Absolutely, Archie. You know, it's something I class as an extreme honour to manage this football club. When I came in just under 2 years ago, we knew there was a lot of work to be done. There still continues to be a lot of work. We're nowhere near where we want to be. We had a relatively successful season last year. We want to have more continuity in our approach this year. We feel we have to get better. You know, there's points we've dropped this year that we need to make sure we don't drop moving forward. But look, it's an honour to manage this football club. Really and truly, it's about, you know, making sure we're progressing and we're taking the team up the table and competing for trophies. But look, it's a very difficult league. It's a club that we understand. We've got to work extremely hard to make sure that we have a team that's capable of challenging. And, you know, in the light of this season, it's been very difficult with the COVID and the start-stop nature of it, and, you know, the smaller amount of games that we have to play. But listen, delighted to get the deal done, but more importantly, we're looking forward to the game on Friday more than anything else.
And there's more from Declan Devine tonight on the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news. I'll also be talking soccer with Institute boss Sean Connor, who is now focusing on getting a team assembled for next season, be it in the Premiership or the Championship of the Irish League. And the latest development over the club's relegation, the Irish FA rejected Stutt's appeal, but it seems that the saga may yet not be over. Sean was not surprised by the decision, but he's now focusing on matters on the field. And Brendan Kilcoyne will also join me tonight as well to look ahead to the round four fixtures in the Donegal Senior Football Championship this coming Sunday. Plus, we'll be talking about the big GA stories from this week as well. The Score tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. Sports stadiums in Scotland could be open to fans from the 14th of September. Nicola Sturgeon says only a limited number of spectators would be allowed in, while strict physical distancing measures would be implemented. The First Minister in Scotland also announced that the government's looking into the possibility of holding tests.
Some professional sports events might be arranged for spectators before then, with Scottish Government agreement to test the safety of any new arrangements.
Finally, the GAA say they remain hopeful that the National Public Health Emergency Team will respond to its invitation. The association seek an explanation on its recommendation that all sporting events are to take place behind closed doors until at least the 13th of September. On Tuesday, the government announced the decision to ban all spectators at all sporting events for the next 3 weeks, with a surge in COVID-19 cases over the last 2 weeks highlighted as the major contributing factor to move sport behind a closed door. So that's it for your bulletin for today, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, Alcohol Action Ireland wants minimum pricing to be introduced to curb excessive consumption of the strongest drinks on the market. Its annual price review says drink in the weekly low-risk limit for less than €5, while a man can do so for just over €7.50. The survey of local shops, off-licences and large supermarkets shows that cider is the cheapest product, followed by beer and wine. Una McKinney from Alcohol Action Ireland says in some cases, prices need to rise as part of the attempt to curb excessive drinking.
What we're witnessing here, again, is just the exceptional affordability of alcohol across the retail landscape, and that's largely because it's been dominated by a number of major corporations in that space. And it essentially means that alcohol can be purchased at pocket money prices. The cheapest, strongest alcohol products on the market, spirit products that are available for €13, whiskey products available for €11, cheap, strong cider, all of those products, that those products would shift up in price and essentially become a little bit more cost sensitive to who are the heaviest drinkers in society.
There are calls for immediate action to address infrastructural needs in Dunloe, particularly in the area of footpaths and pedestrian access. A council-backed community audit of footpaths and roads in Dunloe identified various needs in the town centre, particularly in the vicinity of Carnmore Road. Local councillor Micheál Colmogill-Aspic says it's important that people of all levels of mobility can travel around the town with ease.
If you look at the main street, there are some of the crossing points there at Key Road that is not accessible to people of all abilities, and I don't think that's acceptable. But one of the main concerns that I have is out the Carmel Road. If you live on the left-hand side of the road and you want to go up to a football game or you want to go up shopping, you would actually have to cross a very busy road, the N56, go up the road for about 20, 30, 40 yards and then cross the same road again. And it doesn't make any sense.
Weather now, windy for the rest of the day with sunny spells and scattered heavy showers. Some of the showers will be thundery with a risk of localised flooding, strong and gusty southerly winds. Tonight we'll have widespread showers, some of which will be heavy and thundery, and lowest temperatures of 11 to 14 degrees with moderate southeasterly winds and strong in coastal areas. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Taoiseach has rejected claims there was mixed messaging about the new COVID-19 restrictions. Earlier today, the government was forced to clarify the number who can attend museums, cinemas, theatres and art galleries. The northwest has so far escaped the brunt of Storm Ellen, with some damage reported across the region, including some flooding in Strabane. Power has now been restored to most homes and businesses in Donegal, with ESB crews still working to restore power to 78 properties. COVID-19 testing and tracing systems have come under immediate strain due to the increased numbers of cases. That's according to the head of the HSE, who has refuted claims that the system is falling apart. And all eight whales discovered washed up on Rosnaula Beach yesterday have died. An operation continued for much of yesterday after the pod, which usually swim in deep offshore waters, were found washed up on the beach. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, August the 20th. The death has taken place of Mary Boyle, Kerrytown, Annagree. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in the Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Liam McCallion, Tully Dish, Buncrana. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning in St Mary's Church, Cockhill at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/cockhill. With HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are for family only. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to Buncrana Community Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy funeral directors. The death has taken place of John Gill, 4 Ardnagrenia, Tully Arvin, Buncrana. Remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:15 to St Mary's Church, Cockhill for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed at churchservices.tv/Cockhill. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. The death has occurred of Mark Cullen, Trimra, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, with interment afterwards to New Lex Cemetery, Letterkenny. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Flowers welcome or donations if desired to the Foyle Search and Rescue Derry, care of any family member or Con McDade funeral director. The death has occurred in Kirkcaldy, Fife, Scotland, of Charlie Lynch, formerly of Scrahy in Castle Derg. Funeral and burial will take place in Scotland. The death has taken place of Niall McManus, Maslach, Downings. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, which can be viewed live on Meva Parish Facebook page. Interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. And the death has occurred of Sheila Callaghan Ballure Fanid. Her remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral Mass at St Mary's Church Fanavolte tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Hillcrest Nursing Home, Letterkenny, care of any family member.